Welcome back, everybody, to the I Fucking Love This Movie podcast. We're on episode 2, and today's episode, we're going to be talking about Nicholas Winding Refn's Drive. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in again. And a big thank you to everybody who listened to my last podcast and gave me some feedback. That was really helpful and encouraged me to keep doing this. You know, maybe I have something here. Maybe I don't, you know. I don't know. You know, I just, you know, get better with time, and I do appreciate everybody listening and their patience. So, again, thank you. And if this is your first episode, welcome to the show. Hopefully you subscribe and stick around and enjoy the show. We are now on Apple, Google, and Anchor, and I will post those links up because I'm launching the Instagram tomorrow, so that should be exciting. I kind of did like a soft open, if you will, with it a couple weeks ago with the licorice pizza one. That's kind of why I don't think a whole lot of people listened to the last one. You know, it was just I got kind of cold feet, you know. Yeah, because I, you know, I try to be the best I can be at this, and you know, that's kind of why I was nervous. That's why I recorded it so many times. But you know, I wanted to get it out there. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to my last podcast, and just thank you for the encouragement, man. That's needed. And that's the fuel that keeps me going, aside from the passion about talking about these movies. So that's all I got as far as the show is concerned. So yeah, it's 12:17 at night. My wife and kid are in bed. I don't have my headphones on because, you know, I'm afraid to talk too loud. And, you know, they're in bed. And I know my wife's got to get up and go to work tomorrow. And my kid's off school. So she's been off since Thursday. You know, they're understaffed at the school. So, you know, we've had fun watching Malcolm in the Middle. That's her new favorite show. And let me tell you, that show's, you know, I'm older, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and that show's funnier now than it was when it was on the air. And it's definitely worth checking out again. So, and funny connection with Malcolm in the Middle and Drive, Bryan Cranston is in Drive. And I know him best as Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, Malcolm's dad. So, yeah, funny little connection there. So, before I go into Drive, I watched Only God Forgives a few weeks ago. It was on Tubi. And I don't know if I mentioned Tubi in my last podcast, but Tubi's a streaming service, and it's free, and it's wonderful. They've got probably one of the best selections of movies on a streaming platform, at least for me, at least. I don't know, you know, if you would agree or disagree, but I highly recommend checking it out. It's free. I mean, yeah, there's ads, but, you know, it's a small price to pay. They do have a really good selection of stuff. They have a lot of their cult sections, unbelievable and whatnot. So I highly recommend checking out. Like I said, it's free. The only downside to it is they have ads, but, you know, I grew up, you know, watching TV with commercials in it, so that doesn't bother me. And it's funny too, because me and my daughter have been watching a Malcolm in the Middle rerun. She's like, "Why is there ads?" You know, and it just totally weirded out, because she never really watched a whole lot of TV. I mean, we had cable back in the day, but she just watched the Mickey Mouse Club or Mickey Mouse Friends or whatever that was on, like, Disney Kids or whatever. I don't remember them having too many commercials, or maybe she just didn't pay attention, but there's the whole concept of these ads running weirded out. She's like, what is this? What's going on here? Because it's like, you know, and they have them, Malcolm in the Middle's on the IMDb TV app, and they would always put, like, I was like, oh, cool, this was, like, on network television, and they have, like, they'll have cuts where they would have commercials and stuff. I was like, hopefully, like, they'll put the ads in there, and they don't. They always place them in weird spots, and it drives my daughter nuts. She's like, why do they do that? And I had explained to her that, you know, advertising pays for this app and the licensing and stuff, and she's just like, yeah, whatever, dude. So, oh, let me do another sound check. Good, cool. I don't have my headphones on because I'm afraid to talk really loud. I think I mentioned that before. Apologize if I did repeat myself. It's a bad habit I do. Hopefully I break myself of that. Hopefully by episode 10, I break of that. Maybe sooner, I don't know. So back to Only God Forgives. I knew that was another one of Nicholas Winding Refn's films, and I wanted to check it out. I heard so much about it, and I watched it, and I'm like, it was brutal. You know, Ryan Gosling plays this, like, he got extradited from America, because he did a bunch of these crimes. I was in, like, Thailand, you know, selling drugs and running a kickboxing club. And I'm like, dude, this is such a 90s movie, you know. You know, his brother dies, his mom comes back, and just, like, you know, there's just brutal-ass, like, ninja, you know, cop that's going after him and whatnot. I mean, it's just a crazy-ass movie, and it's kind of a mildly disturbing one, and I highly recommend checking that one out, too, if you haven't already. But I was just like, well, and it was so well done. I definitely need to get that on Blu-ray. So, like I said, I highly recommend checking that out. So, let's talk Drive, because obviously I fucking love this movie. That's why it's an episode. And I rewatched it on Tubi, too, because I do this thing where, like, I'll be on a streaming platform and I'll watch something. I forget what I watched. I watched Only God Forgives. And then I saw Drive in the, like, recommended. Actually, I'm going to play Drive. I got it hooked up in the my 4K player back. I don't have it on 4K. I think it's coming out on Second Sight 4K. If I'm not mistaken, I know a boutique label got a hold of it. I know it's an import from a foreign company. I just saw it on my feed, but I got it on Blu-ray, and I'm in my back living room right now with the big TV and stuff. That's kind of why I don't have my headphones on. Like I said earlier, I don't want to talk too loud and, you know, wake my wife and kid up, or, you know, disturb their sleep, or keep him from going to sleep, because I'm going to talk really loud about some movie. So let me play this. It'll help me kind of keep on track, like, unlike the licorice pizza one. So the font of this movie, like the titles, remind me of Grand Theft Auto. So yeah, I was watching it because it came up after I got done with Only God Forgives. I was watching it, and like I said, I got done watching it. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that. I saw Drive, and I was like, oh, I got that on Blu-ray. I really shouldn't, you know, I should watch the Blu-ray. I want to watch it, but I should really watch the Blu-ray. But, like, I'll get lazy sometimes and just be like, well, you know, fuck it, it's on here. Let me watch it. So I watched it, and this movie always blows my mind. Actually, it's not even an almost. It blows my mind with each viewing, because it's one of the best perfect action films ever made, crime movies ever made. And I wrote it off for, like, years. I remember, I think it was Crackle. It was on Crackle, and I watched it, and I just wasn't impressed. And I'll tell you why I wasn't impressed. And this is one of my flaws as a fan of film, is I typecast people. And, like, I'm like, Ryan Gosling's like this, like, heartthrob, you know, good-looking actor guy. I mean, he's the Notebook guy. I was like, what's he doing trying to do these, like, cool movies or, like, these weird movies? So, like, I kind of wrote him off, you know? And that's just one of my flaws I want to work on, has been a fan of films and art in general. It's like, not to write people off. Give people a chance. And I just wrote him off. I was like, you're the Notebook guy, dude. Like, what are you doing trying to do some weird indie film? Go back to, you know, being the Notebook guy. But I think a couple years after I initially tried to watch it, this was, like, years ago, I kept seeing on, like, the internet, like, Instagram and stuff, people were, like, really championing this film. And the British people love this movie. I remember they had screenings of it. England has a huge following. I remember British people really loved this movie. And they even, like, did an alternate score to it, like, at a showing or something, which I kind of want to hear. I love the score as it is. As it is in the theatrical version, you know, Cliff Martinez just did a wonderful job with it, as he does with any of his scores. I first heard of Cliff Martinez because I remember watching Pump Up the Volume years ago, and I remember seeing his name up there. I was like, "That who the hell is this guy?" So I looked him up, and I will look him up real quick right now. I got some, and he also did the score for Only God Forgives. But yeah, Cliff Martinez, he was a drummer in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I am going to assume raised in Columbus. about 20, 25 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. I want to say Chad Smith may have took over for him. Cliff Martinez. He was awesome. The Dickies. I know who the Dickies are. Yeah, he did Pump Up the Volume. That's where I remember seeing his name in the credits. And that's another great movie. That's another movie I fucking love, is Pump Up the Volume. Eat It Traffic. Wow. Spring Breakers. Yeah, I remember seeing his name. So yeah, they did like an alternate score for a screening overseas. Like I said, England loves this movie. British people love Drive, and it's a wonderful film. But I follow a lot of people on Instagram that are from England, and they kept like ranting and raving about this Drive movie. And I kept following like film Instagrams, and they were just ranting and raving about this Drive movie. I was like, all right, you know, if. And there's this one page that I follow. It's called Keep It Cult, and they referenced it. I was like, all right, now I got to see it. So I sat down and watched it. Gave it a chance, and it blew my mind. Like I said earlier, it's like the most, it's one of the best action films ever made. Probably the one of the most perfect crime movies ever made. So let me turn this on. And Ryan Gosling, man, like I was so wrong about that guy. And the thing that I don't really realize with a guy like that, you know, he was in the like movies like The Notebook and stuff. I can't really name too many movies he was in. Let's change that. Let's see what else. I'm only referencing The Notebook, and I know I can do. I did see him in Lars and the Real Girl. That was actually a really good movie. You would think it was like a really odd movie, like, or like one of those like weird comedies or like whatever, but like that movie wasn't. It was like completely like the total counter opposite of what I thought it was going to be. I highly recommend that one too. Let's see what movies he's done. Yeah, he was in Remember the Titans. It's been a while. Actually, he's done like, shame on me for just judging him on one movie. Like I said, I gotta quit doing that. I always typecast people, and guys like, you know, Ryan Gosling want to spread their, you know, their actor wings or whatever. You know, DiCaprio did it. He did like stuff like What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and then like The Basketball Diaries, and then he does Titanic. And you know, you do a movie like Titanic, you think you're just going to be set and just do like a big epic drama or like romantic comedy for the rest of your career, and he didn't. You know, he did that. I think he did The Beach. The Beach is a really good movie. I caught that on cable some years ago, and then he started doing like the Tarantino stuff and just branched out. Inception, I mean, come on. So, yeah, I mean, I think he kind of took a page out of DiCaprio's book and just be like, I'm just going to branch out. Yeah, you know, I'll do stuff like The Notebook and, you know, La La Land, but I'm just in Crazy Stupid Love, but, like, I'm going to do cool stuff like Drive and The Place Beyond the Pines. That was a good movie, but, man, that was just, that bummed me out for about a week. And also, speaking of composers, Mike Patton, I think the Mike Patton from Mr. Faith No More. I don't know why I said Mr. Faith No More. Mr. Mike Patton from The Faith No More and Mr. Bungle and Phantomas. I want to say did the score to this. Mm-hmm. I hope everything's going all right with the Faith No More camp. They've just canceled a lot of dates and tours and stuff. Everything's all right with those guys. I love that band, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, The Place Beyond the Pines. It's a really good movie. Check that one out, too. So, let's go back to Drive. So, I'm watching it, and he plays a stunt driver for movies. And it's set in modern times. So, when was this released? 2011. So, it's safe to say that it's like 2011 this film's set in. And, you know, as we all know, like, computer-generated, you know, CGI kind of reigns supreme and stuff like that. Because you don't have to spend a whole lot of money on, like, dummy cars and all that stuff. It's just easier. Whether it looks good or not, that's up for debate. But it just, It's easier, and you know, you can get it done faster. So, like, you know, and that was another weird thing too. When I was watching this, I was like, man, you know, I don't really see too many like legit car chases and crashes anymore. I'm just gonna assume it's all CGI, and I've never seen a Fast and Furious movie, so don't just be like, well, that's one scene in Fast and Furious 3 or whatever. I haven't seen those movies. You know, I'm pretty old school when it comes to my like car movies. You know, I mean, no offense to the Fast and Furious movies. No offense to any of you guys that enjoy those movies, but they're not my thing. You know what I mean? So he plays a stunt driver, and it's like I said, I was watching this movie. I was like, man, that's just kind of like a ancient thing, you know? I mean, there's stunt people, but there's really no stunt drivers anymore because, like I said, I mean, it's all CGI and whatnot, you know? They just, like, oh, well, I didn't post. I thought that's one of the reasons that made his character unique. You know, he does that, and then he works at him. I guess he's just like, according to the movie, he's like this just like hotshot mechanic, according to Bryan Cranston's character who plays his boss. I think his name's Shannon in the movie. Yeah, he's Shannon. I think him himself was a stunt driver at one point, and then, you know, they're all like, he does like, drives for heists is like, you know, he's a stunt driver, he's a really good driver, he's a car mechanic. And that was another thing I thought was really cool and like a good use of that character. I was like, here's a guy who's a stunt driver. And turn this down a little bit so it doesn't distract me too much. So we got the sound bar in the back living room. So he's a stunt driver, mechanic, and he drives for heist. I was like, dude, when I thought about that, I was like, that is just incredible. You know, and that's so smart too, using a stunt driver to like drive for heist and whatnot. I'm not saying any like all stunt drivers could do that, but just you know, dude's talented. Dude knows what he's doing. Dude's good at his job. You know, he's this mysterious guy who, you know, has two legitimate jobs, and then just this side hustle is just extremely illegal and dangerous. But you know, you can tell he's. And, like, I watched in the beginning right now, he's, like, calm and collective. He's like, okay, yeah, I got the police on me and, you know, the helicopter's flying over. He's like, but you know what? I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it to the Lakers Stadium. You know, he's just calm and confident and stuff. And even later on in the movie when that heist goes wrong and he's like, you know, he's in a Mustang, which he just fucking steals off the street. I was like, what? And he was just, like, so discreet and nonchalant about it. He's just like, I'm just going to gank this Mustang off the side of the street and use it in a heist. And he chases the Chrysler 300. And that's probably one of the best car chases I've ever seen in a movie. And just in of all time and even in recent times. It's like I said, you know, according to my knowledge, you know, I think most car chases now are like CGI or like, you know, just they're not authentic. They're not what they used to be, you know. You know, we're talking about the good old days like Vanishing Point, Teeling Blacktop, Smokey. I'll even throw Smokey and the Bandit in there. Gone in 60 Seconds. Dirty Mary, Crazy Layer, stuff like that, you know. And Tarantino is a real catalyst for me to go check out car films. But yeah, even back to the driver, Ryan Gosling's character, because he has no name. I was like, dude, that's so awesome. That's like Clint Eastwood in the Man with No Name trilogy. I was like, dude, he's like the modern day Man with No Name. Granted, I don't see, you know, Nicholas Refn doing any more of drive films. He just doesn't seem like the sequel type. Although I did do a little research on him before. Recording this, I guess he did the poster series, which I need to check out, and Bronson is on TV, so I might check that out after I get done recording this, or while I'm getting it all set up and posted and whatnot, I might watch that. So yeah. And another thing I thought of when I watched it the last time was, like, who is this guy? He has no name, really mysterious, really quiet, but he's really good at all three of his fucking jobs. Who is this guy? Where did this guy come from before? Was he like a troubled youth and just, you know, just, I don't know. Was he like a troubled youth that just got really good at, you know, that crime, you know, was is the ex-military. I mean, who is this guy? He's mysterious. And I think that's what adds to the character. It's what makes this a great character and a great performance from Ryan Gosling. And, and the cast is incredible. Carey Mulligan, who plays the neighbor down the street. I seen her in the Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, the Wall Street sequel, and I have not watched that since I bought it and it came out. I should probably revisit that, but that wasn't too bad of a sequel. Bryan Cranston plays Shannon, the driver's boss and like kind of like guy who helps him out with these heists. And let's talk about Albert Brooks for a minute, who plays like the main dude, the gangster guy. And it was so weird to see him play like a bad guy, because I know him from him to be funny. You know, I have This Is 40 on Blu-ray. I think it was the last movie recent movie I watched him in. And then, of course, he's in the Twilight Zone prologue. You want to see something really scary? That still scares the shit out of me to this day. And the dude shaved his eyebrows. That's the craziest shit. But it adds to his character. And like I said, I can't name any other movies he plays a bad guy in. And he did a really good job. He did. And it's hard to be like funny, comedic actor and then just turn around and just play a bad guy. It's hard. Then you got Oscar Isaac, who was in the last three Star Wars movies. He plays Standard Gabriel, the Irene, the neighbor lady, Carrie's character, husband who's been incarcerated and gets entangled with, he has to pay off all debts because I guess he paid for protection in the penitentiary. And then he ends up an unfortunate casualty in the heist that goes wrong. Not too sure who Christina Hendricks is. I'm pretty sure I've seen her before, but she plays Blanche, who goes on the heist that goes wrong and knows that the heist is going wrong. Ron Perlman, always a pleasure to see him. I remember growing up as a kid and I seeing him in the Beauty and the Beast TV show with Linda Hamilton. Yes, Sarah Connor. I remember watching that as a kid. That was a weird show. But I always remember him being the Beast. And it weirded me out the first time I saw him without makeup on. I was like, that's the guy who played the Beast. But it's cool to see he's kept it steady since then and does really good work. You know, he was in Hellboy. He was just in the Don't Look Up, the Adam McKay movie, which is another one worth checking out, and a Leonardo DiCaprio movie. And that's pretty much it. It's like the main people. He plays Nino, the pizza shop owner. So pretty solid cast, pretty small cast. And I've noticed that there's been a running thing with Nicholas's movies is he has pretty small, like, tight casts. And like I said, hell of a job. Just good job. And there's Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, Shannon, Bryan Cranston. Which is funny because I guess in the show that they had a last name, they mentioned it a couple times, back to Malcolm in the Middle. I'm like almost on season 5, so I'm going to be talking about it periodically throughout this podcast because, you know, Bryan Cranston's in both of these. I guess their name was no last name, just all in one. Little fun, weird factoid. And I go off kilter sometimes. I guess that's the charm of this show. So Drive, we're talking about car chases and the mysterious nature of the driver. And to me, it's like the perfect heist movie because, like I said, dude knows what dude's good at it. I mean, he's nearly, and it's been a minute since the scene, he's like nearly like James Caan in Thief level. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And yeah, so let's talk about, let's go away from the movie for a little bit and talk about this, what this movie put my faith back in. For years I was like, well, cult's dead. You know, the cult films are dead. see how much time I've done. Oh, okay. We're doing pretty good. For years, I was like, cult films are dead. You know, they're just a thing of the past, you know, because I always thought these major studios would, like, you know, back in the olden days, you know, for every blockbuster, they'd have, like, a cult movie. And I'm just like, they don't have those anymore. But, you know, these are smaller studios. And granted, this was a, I think it was a Sony picture.
Excuse me.
Or Sony may have distributed, you know, distributed it. Yeah, it's a pretty small movie. I mean, $50 million. I mean, that's a pretty low budget for this time. But I was like, you know, cult's dead, you know, and all that stuff. I was kind of sad about it. But the more that I thought about it, like, you know, I started seeing stuff like Drive. And then, you know, Nicolas Cage is coming out with all these crazy-ass movies. You know, like, you know, he did Mandy, Color of Space, Willy's Wonderland. And then, you know, 824's kind of got that cult, you know, exploitation thing going on, along with, I think it's called Spectrevision or something. Let me look that up real quick. The film company that did Mandy, which is an awesome movie. Yeah, Spectrevision. You know, A24, Spectrevision, you know, they're defenders of the faith. So, like, if you're a cult exploitation guy like myself, check those films out. And I just saw the trailer for Ty West's new film X before watching something on Nicholas Refn before I did this podcast. So, but yeah, this movie really, you know, put my faith. I was like, man, there are swarms of these, you know, cult exploitation like movies still out. They're under my radar. I need more of this. And this catapulted me into watching more new movies. And I love the look of this film. Nicholas has like this neon noir kind of thing going on with this film, and then Only God Forgives, and I think Neon Demons on Prime. I think I'm gonna check that out too. And his films look great. He's a very just wonderfully visual director. And I just got done watching an interview with him. He did an interview with Vice, and he's an odd dude. And I think that's what makes a great filmmaker, is if they're just kind of, they're off, or like their movies are just like so extreme, but they're like so normal. You know, one of those two makes a great director. He gave me like David Lynch vibes. And I'm just like, that's what we need right now, is like kind of like, you know, a David Lynch like director. And he's kind of an argument too, that like, I don't mind films that are shot on digital, because I used to just kind of be old school. It's like, oh, film needs to be shot, movies need to be shot on film, you know, digital's horseshit. But like, there's a lot of talent and a lot of things you can do with a digital camera. You know, a lot of, you know, some of the stuff like Nolan and Tarantino do with a film camera is still great. But like, you know, digital just kind of has its advantages too. And, you know, directors like Nicholas and David Fincher, they know how to use digital, and it's a great medium, and it's a great kind of step forward in filmmaking. You know, I'm always going to love movies that are shot on film. I'm always going to love seeing a movie on film, but, you know, I have to embrace this new digital realm that we're going to. There's so many advantages to it. Like I said, you know, guys like Nicholas and David Fincher, they know how to do it. And these movies speak for themselves and whatnot. And I can't wait to see what the future of digital filmmaking has. But at the same time, I don't want celluloid film to go extinct either, because there's stuff you could do with that too. And like I said, you know, guys like Nolan and Tarantino, you know, they prove that with each film that they do, because they only shoot on film. So where else can we go from here? Or do I want to end it? Kind of contemplated. You know, I'm still kind of winging it. I do want that Scorpion jacket that the driver wears. Everybody tells me it's ugly, but I think it's pretty badass. I think it's pretty badass. I do need to get the soundtrack, though. I love the score. And that's one of my goals for this year. Like, I hope everybody has some goals, whether it's just kind of like major, like, changes in your life, or just, you know, something small. Like, you know, like, hey, I want to start you know, I'm going to cut back on this. I'm going to quit smoking or something, like something major like that. But at the same time, like, yeah, I'd really like to get more of this or do more of this. And, you know, one of my kind of like not important goals is to buy more vinyl and get more film scores, because I do want Drive on vinyl. The score is just incredible. I love it. It seems like we're going back in time with film scores. You know, it's not very often you sit back and listen to a film score you do sometimes. I'm not saying that a full orchestra score is extinct. I mean, you hear that sometimes. It just depends on the movie. But now it's just like this whole synth wave thing that it's taken over. And like, you know, Cliff Martinez does with this film. And then the guy who did Mandy, the composer who did Mandy, Johansson, I could be mispronouncing that. I love these synth scores that are coming out. It puts me in the mindset of watching like a movie that Tangerine Dream scored, or Giorgio Moroder. Probably not pronouncing that right. The guy who did the Scarface score soundtrack, I think he did. And then, you know, Vangelis, you know, I could go on and on. Wendy Carlos, Jan Hammer, you know, all them great. John Carpenter. I mean, happy belated birthday, John Carpenter. Goblin, Claudio Simonetti or whatever, the guy who was in Goblin and he branched off. He has his own Goblin now. So yeah, these film scores are bringing me back to like the 80s and stuff. And it was so weird to. It was weird because we're a huge Stranger Things household here, and I remember I have a Tangerine Dream tape. It's the album Exit, and I put it on, and I had people over like, oh, cool, you got the Stranger Things soundtrack? I was like, no, this is Tangerine Dream, and it's so odd who does the music for Stranger Things, how much, like, they sound like Tangerine Dream. And I want to say Giorgio Moroder, I think that's how you pronounce his name, and Tangerine Dream were like, and Wendy Carlos were like the three like first like composers to use like synthesizers for a film score. I want to say they were probably the three of the first to do that in films. So yeah, keep it up with the synth scores. I'm digging it. Like, makes me want to go get a synthesizer and try to do the same thing. I talked to my buddy today, shout out to Justin. And he does stuff all the time and always sends me videos and stuff. And he just needs to record that stuff, because I told him I need a theme song for the show. Get me a theme song for the show. So, Drive, what more can you say about Drive? It's like I said, it's probably one of the best action films ever made. It's probably one of the most perfect heist movie. And I think one of the things that makes it great as far as, like, from the criminal aspect is, like, you know, the driver's not constantly doing these heists. It's just kind of periodically he does it. I think he just does it, you know, does he do it for the thrill? Does he do it, you know, for the extra money to fill in gaps for his finances? Or does he do it because just his life's kind of boring? I mean, he works as a mechanic and stunt drives part-time. Like I said, that's kind of a thing in the past now, and that's I don't know, I can't accept that, because, you know, back when I was a kid, when I would watch like a car chase or a car crash on a movie, I was, you know, I'd always pick my brain, like, I'd always just, you know, pick it apart in my brain. I'm like, you know, this is probably how they did it. Like, I'm probably wrong, but this is probably how they did it. And like, I can't like watch something I know it's like CGI and go, oh, that was done on an iMac. I guess we're doing good with me keeping it down and whatnot, because the wife has not texted me and told me to shut up or keep it down. So good. I will have to say with the car chase, the heist that goes wrong, I will have to say that had some Steve McQueen bullet vibes. I don't know if that was intentional or just coincidence, but that gave off some very huge Steve McQueen Bullet vibes. For those of you who don't know, Steve McQueen started this movie called Bullet Check it out. Awesome. Watch anything with Stephen Queen. Stephen Queen was like the American badass. You know, that guy was like the real deal. He was a tough dude and he lived a tough life, you know. And so he's in this movie called Bullet and he plays a detective and he has this car chase. He's in a Mustang, a green Mustang. I should have texted my dad before this. He would have told me the year. My dad's like a Mustang aficionado. Like, he could literally show him a picture of a Mustang. He'd just be like, oh, that's a 72 or whatever. So, anyway, Steve McQueen, Bullet, is in this green Mustang, sharp-looking car. And he gets in a car chase. A Dodge Charger's chasing after him. Pre-Dukes of Hazzard, painted all black. And he runs that car off the road. And I think the Dodge Charger was technically a muscle car, and I guess the Ford Mustang technically wasn't. Just what my old man told me. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I know nothing about cars. I mean, hell, I could barely drive one. So, yeah, that scene with the Ford Mustang and the 300 and drive, very reminiscent of the one, for me at least, and Bullet with the Mustang and the Dodge Charger. Like I said, check that movie out. He's taking his Irene and her son and on that joyride, like under the bridge and stuff. And it looks like the same shooting location as Repo Man when they're doing that chase with the Rodriguez brothers. So let's see what kind of time we got. I'm always checking this thing. What more can I add about Drive that I haven't already said? I'm praising it the high hell. Oh, we were talking earlier about, I get sidetracked. We're talking earlier about why this makes it a perfect heist movie. Like he doesn't do it all the time. He's not consistent. It's like once in a while, at least how the movie portrays it. You know? And he really wasn't sloppy. That last heist in this film that went bad wasn't his fault. I mean, he got set up. And the revenge, like how he got back at that dude was just crazy. And it was just a crazy scene because he's in a strip club and you have all these naked, topless strippers. And he's making a man. Actually, he beat him with a hammer and then made him swallow a bullet. And that was pretty badass. And then back to the fan theory thing, prior to that, you know, he got attacked in his hotel room. And that's what made me think. I was like, was this driver dude in the military? Because just like how he just, like, he threw the mattress up and like shielded himself and how he like took out the two dudes that were like shooting up his hotel room, like, just didn't blink, didn't bat, didn't hesitate. He just got right on it. That's kind of one of the fan theories I have for this film, at least. It's like this dude was like ex-military. Maybe he was in the Rangers, Special Forces. Hell, maybe he might have been a SEAL. I mean, we don't know. Like, he's just this mysterious character. Maybe he just had like a troubled youth and stuff and just like he just learned how to survive because he had no other choice, you know, which is, you know, a couple fan theories I have about this driver character. And that's another thing that makes this movie one of the best action movies ever. He doesn't hesitate. He just acts on instinct. His instincts are just, like, sharp. So, I don't know. I don't have too much to say. Hopefully, you know, next couple episodes I have a guest. You know, I can only do so much to entertain the audience that I do have. So, yeah, let me know what you think about Drive. Do you love it as much as I do? Have you seen it? Do you want to see it? Let me know. Well, I think we're going to end it here. I'm going to get off here. I'm going to upload this on my page. And like I said earlier, I'm available on Apple, Google, and Anchor platforms. Feedback's always nice. Tell me what you think of the show, what you would like me to talk about, any films you think that I fucking love that need to be episodes. Just anything. So I'm going to get off here. I'm going to put it, upload this. And like I said earlier, I'm off tomorrow too. So do I want to stay up late and watch more movies, or do I want to continue with my Malcolm in the Middle binge? So that'll be it for me. Thank you for tuning in again. Till next time, everybody. Thank you very much.